The following sermon is from Samuel Rutherford's collection of communion sermons. The sermon was preached at Kirkcudbright in Galloway upon a day of thanksgiving. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and so on. Revelation 19:11-14. Christ is here broad and triumphing on horseback, and his armies following him upon white horses. Here Christ is discovered gloriously, number one, from his triumph on horseback. Number two, from his style, faithful and true. Number three, from his righteousness and government. Number four, from his head, his eyes, his name, his habit, his convoy, his power of the sword, and his high style, King of Kings, and so on, which are all here set down. Before ever John sees this triumph of Christ over Antichrist, he sees heaven opened, which shows him a new revelation. For until God opens the door and shine bright from heaven with new light, we never do certainly believe that Christ shall win the battle. If God's door be closed and our eyes be darkened, we think we see Christ going on foot, persecuted and banished and put to the worse. Then we begin to droop and die and cast away our confidence as Elias did. But we have faith and hope when a window is opened in heaven to give us light. But until then, no marvel the saints have their faith to seek. David said, "One day or other I shall fall by the hand of Saul." And yet he had that promise that he should live and be king. He had then many experiences. How comes this then that he was in the dark? Here is a reason. God had closed a door. We think no more of our trouble, but at first by faith and hope to open our king's door and into him and be stayed with flagons and comforted with apples. No, but God will cause his children to come and stand and pant and cry and wait upon an open door. And yet they are believing, though they know it not. They are waiting on for faith, though they know it not. And howbeit they think they believe not, yet that is believing to one of his children. And therefore, howbeit our Lord keep a good house, his children will get leave to sleep and mourn 24 hours for bread. God loves a hungry child, that's I crying for bread. Nay, I say it is more glory to God to knock a while at a locked door than if the door were open to us night and day. We see not that hunger is often better for us than a full stomach. And hunger we seek and cry, and it pleases God, but when we are full, we can lay ourselves down in the sun and fall asleep. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Here we have a glorious description of Christ, as also in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3:10, Colossians 1:15, 16, 17, Revelation 3:14. And wherefore is all this? I think it is a putting Christ to open market. A committing of him is highly worth the buying. What think ye of him? Well, is he not a lovely one, a sweet, excellent person? Saw ye ever the like of him? I will talk of this in the convoy and let you see both together. Where is Christ? He is triumphing upon a white horse, and the saints, his armies, at his back, following him on horseback in white. Here indeed is a fair company of horsemen, all in white. Here all are in one livery. Christ is the captain or colonel, and all his company, his armies with him. Christ and all his elect are a fair company together and a well-favored sight. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Revelation 14, verse 1. Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me. Isaiah 8:18. I think he would say, am not I and my children a pleasant sight? Judge ye then what a sight it will be at the last day, when Christ, having ended his court and the saints have met him in the air, he and they shall go back again to heaven, and he shall come in at the door with such majesty, and all the firstborn, their fair barren teen, the whole elect, nations, tongues, languages, and people, that none can number at his back, every one of them as fair as the sun. And he shall present them as a gift to the Father. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:9. In very deed, then, he is a happy man who is amongst them, for that must be a glad meeting forevermore, when we shall meet with the bridegroom. This white horse that Christ rides on teaches nothing else than that he triumphs in himself, in his cause and truth. He rode through death and hell and was never thrown off the saddle. Nay, upon the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 1:18. Here is Christ riding over hell and death upon his triumphant horse, and breaking the wards and taking the keys of the prison with him. And is he not daily posting upon this horse? Has he not ridden like a victorious lord through Germany and sparkled dirt upon the beast's face and the false prophet? You will say Christ loses a battle sometimes. I grant you Christ's horse seems to snapper sometimes and is upon his knees, but he does not fall. Nay, even when the woman is chased by the dragon to the wilderness, Christ keeps the saddle and bridle. The devil cannot lay him on the breadth of his back and take his horse from him. The horse seemed to lose a stroke in a mire when Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when the Kirk was in captivity at the river of Babel, weeping like a poor, silly captive. But believe me, Christ will win the race and will get the gold. And we shall get a part of it. Christ and his members will get a fall, but he will rise again and win the field, say all what ye will. He will yet ride in Scotland and win the race, 2 Corinthians 4:9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Faithful and true. So he is called the faithful and true witness, the Amen, who spake the truth betwixt God and us, and told us all that ever he heard of the Father. And these styles the Lord Jesus gets because all the promises of God made to us are fastened to Christ, as so many bonds that God has given us in the gospel. Says Christ, he that believeth on me is passed from death to life. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. He that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life. Christ's name is in all the bonds and all the bargains betwixt God and us. Christ is I one, and he is a cautioner, not only for us, but with us. For God challenged him for our debt, and he, as faithful and true, answered without bout gates or evasion, and was very honest in his word to his Father. He is, let me speak so, God's cautioner to us, taking on him that God shall keep true to us. This is a point not considered as it should be by us, for there is not a promise made to the true believer, but he may challenge Christ for it by law, though it is a law of the new covenant. But in this good sense, Christ is God's debtor, and he has become our debtor. Indeed, Christ is fastened in a mediator's chair and offices with strong nails and iron wedges on both sides. God has bound him by law, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. There Christ says, I am bound, but I hope I shall not die in my bonds. I shall be both true to God and man. I hope I shall have no shame of my handiworks. Then we are far in the wrong to Christ when we believe not. Nay, you say you dare not yet believe. You say your eye doubting. Think about what you say when you say that. You are even saying, I fear Christ play me a slip. I fear Christ be but a false promiser. I say it is wrong to believe a falsehood of an honest man, for thou that wilt not believe the promises, thou art saying the Lord Jesus Christ is but a double diver. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. 1 John 5:10. Now when the text says Christ is faithful and true, this is the King's broad seal for your salvation. And I, the truer Christ be, it is the better for you. For when in judgment your salvation is questioned, and your sins come in the reckoning, whether they be satisfied for or not, you may see an easy way. Say ye, Lord, ask at Christ a faithful witness if they be not taken away. Christ is one of the sworn men, if we may so speak, upon his conscience for clearing of you, and he is faithful and true and will tell the truth. And will Christ get it denied what scourges, whips, and strokes he suffered for you? Nay, indeed, we have gotten, I think, a stronghold of salvation when we have gotten it laid over on Christ, a faithful and true. It is much that a faithful man is in office, and that he keeps all the writs in the country. And if he keeps a register who is faithful, true, and an honest witness, then all the writs and charters are safe. The writs you and I have for heaven are all in Christ's hand, and you should I be looking them over. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. He renders to every man according to his works. But in battles amongst men, much blood is spilt. Falsehood and violence used, while those who may be strongest, whether it be right or not, keep the field. Nay, in very deed are not kingdoms often ruined by opposite parties who rent them in pieces amongst them? As to Nebuchadnezzar's, the Medes and Persians did. They draw it among them, and the thing they get is a fine web of linen, a bit of a kingdom with an ill conscience which never does them good. They are like so many men striving about a deceitful vessel. He draws and he draws, and the one pulls aside from the vessel and breaks it in pieces. So conquerors, when they have subdued a kingdom, are like those who get the lean vessel that seldom bides a second heir. Christ makes not war with the shedding of innocent blood when he takes in a city. He plays not foul play as other captains do. Where 10 the soldier's right to a country is by the point of the sword, for there is no difference betwixt his sword, his conscience, and his musket. But it is not so with Christ. How then? When Christ takes in a city, nation, or country, he has God's right to it and his Father's promise of it. Psalm 2, verse 8. Psalm 72, verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. When besieged men render and give up themselves to Christ, oh, but they get good quarters from him. They live and are not made captives, but kings and priests to God. Christ's captives have a king's life of it. Number 3. Christ makes not war in a passion, but sweetly to his people in the end, though seemingly bitter at the first. But when Christ's enemies, who get the worse, are all driven to pieces with a rod of iron, they have no comfort, yet he has done them no wrong. He has made his war in righteousness. Then ye who are his enemies shall never be cured nor healed again, nor yet by him pitied. Nay, let Christ drive an enemy all to flinders. He doth it by laws God bade him. Who will then gather them or mend them? Oh, there is no balm, no cure for the mending of Christ's wounds again. But there is sweetness and comfort to those whom Christ takes in and sets on to win them to the obedience of the gospel. He has good right to you and is God's warrant to have you. Has Christ fought a battle with the devil and sin, and has he won you? Then he has better right to you than you have to the coat on your back. Be glad you are his own. He won you with the sweat of his brow. It is true you deserve not Christ, but indeed he deserves you. Therefore be glad and humble, for Christ will not want his own. Who can rob, spoil, and oppress Christ? I know well he is able to hold his own with the best of them. Then fear not that ye be lost, for Christ's right cannot be broken. God must give him justice and law, and by law you are his. For open market right is a good right, and Christ is that of you. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Fire flies out of his eyes to cause his enemies to flee and hide themselves, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall upon us and hide us from the face of the Lamb. Revelation 6:15-16. What is the matter they are so afraid when Christ had not as yet laid a finger upon them? What then saw they in his fiery eyes? They saw fire in his face. Hide us, they say, from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. When there is such a fire and anger in his face, how soon with the frown of his countenance will he make the hearts of his enemies to melt like wax? And this fire of his eyes will soon burn up the chaff and stubble. A glance of his fiery eye made Belshazzar's knees to shake and strike one against another. Then what wisdom is it for men to be sporting with Christ and pulling at his crown and playing with his scepter? Surely I think them like a child thrusting up a stick in the nose of a sleeping lion and pulling his beard, which is no wise play. Is it good play for fools like bairns to be sporting and playing with the lion of the tribe of Judah? I think they are now scorning Christ and breaking a jest upon him, but one stroke of his paw, one of Christ's roars when he is angry, will cause them all to take a backside. Fire shall go before him and shall devour and burn all his enemies. And on his head were many crowns. I tell thee, or ever I go further, O believer, thou need not think shame of thy master. Saul went to the devil in the night, but he that serveth Christ may not think shame of his master. He may think it an honor to go to him in fair daylight. He is more than a double king, for he is God essential with the Father and Holy Spirit. He is an honorable Lord. All the kingdoms of the earth are his, all the crowns in the world, of Britain, France, Spain, Israel, and Judah, until the morning. They are all Christ's as God's creator. By him kings reign and princes decree justice. Proverbs 8:15. All the kings of the earth hold their being of Christ. He is appointed of the Father, king upon the holy hill of Zion. Psalm 2, verse 6. Kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. By his rising from the dead, he has gotten a name far above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Then kingdoms and kings that stand by policy and not on Christ and his word, they stand on rotten treat legs. Now men of policy devise a way and cast their wit in a pair of balances, how to shift the matter. Had they been in Daniel's place, they would have devised some way to have kept the court in place and would have said, "Can ye not speak low and make little noise with your prayers? To save yourselves from the lion's den, might ye not keep a close door and windows? What need ye, like fools, make all the fields ado with your prayers, and so have sewed the black coat with white thread? But in so doing, Daniel might have denied Christ to have many crowns upon his head. And would not policy have said to the three children, bow, bend your knee before the golden image, and think upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that so you may put by an ill hour in the harm of the fiery furnace? Nay, but such counsel as this would have come from hell. Men are surest when they stay on Christ's side, and are always strongest when they stand with him. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Oh, what a nameless king is this! What, is Christ unbaptized that he wants a name? Is there no man knows his name? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Proverbs 30, verse 4. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Isaiah 53:8. Here is a strange thing, says the angel, thou shalt call his name Jesus Christ. Nay, but his name is himself and his nature, and so he is an infinite God. None knows infinite Christ but himself. I surely Christ is an unknown person, though each one has Christ Jesus in their mouth, yet they know not what they are saying. There are three mysteries in Christ we cannot perfectly ken in this life, nor understand. The infinite wisdom, mercy, goodness, love, and grace in Christ, which the angels delight to look into and wonder. Come near Christ here, and you will never see the bottom of him. You have seen mercy. There is yet more behind. One has seen much of him, another more. The angels that are sharp in sight have yet seen more. Nay, but there is infinite more behind. You will as soon take the sea in the hollow of your hand and bind the wind in your cloak as you will take him up. He must even stand still here and wonder and cry out, O great Jesus, who will or can fathom thee out? Number two, the work of Christ's incarnation. What a depth is in it! God and dust married together. How blood remains in a personal union with God. How the finite manhood subsists in his infinite personality. And how the Godhead in the second person, and not in the first or third, assumed our nature, and yet but one Godhead in all the three. How the Godhead stood under the manhood that was stricken, and the Godhead as a back friend held him up, and yet the Godhead suffered not. How Jesus the man died, and Jesus God lived, and remained in death God and man. And the third mystery is what a name Jesus has gotten by his rising from the dead and how the manhood is advanced. Christ kens all these full well. He can read his own name. You will speak of learning to measure the earth, number the stars, and to learn their motion. That is deep knowledge, but God help you to come here and see this unknown name, Jesus, and find it out if you can. I know you cannot. Now ask, where will you set Christ? Where will you get a seat, a throne, a chair to him? He cannot be set too high. Nay, if there were 10,000 times 10,000 heavens, and each to be above another, and Christ to be set in the highest of them all, yet were he too low. Alas, he is too little thought of. He is like the field where the pearl is, that men go over and tread upon the grass that grows above it, and yet that they ken it not. Men trample upon this pearl, and yet they know not what they are doing. Fie, fie, earthly man that thou art! Wilt thou put a cow or a sheep in thy affection beyond thy salvation? Fie for shame forevermore, that men set their lusts above him. And oh, fie for shame that you would set your new come over Lord, willful will, above the old eternal Lord, the Ancient of Days, Jesus Christ. Oh, how is Christ put out of his place? Oh, let us long for glory, that place where we will read his name clearly and will see Christ face to face. Oh, strange, we long not to be in heaven to see this comely, glorious one, if I may so speak, a darling indeed, and to play God's bairns in heaven. We will then come and look into the ark, for the curtain will be drawn by, and we will see our fill of Christ there. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That is a strange garment. I leave all expositions and take it to be Christ in his suffering clothes, wooing his kirk, represented thus to John in his wooing clothes. He is also represented so in Isaiah. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? 63:2. Christ in his suffering for us was wet to the skin in his own blood. When he was slaying our enemies, he was all bloody to look upon. Even a lock of blood, dropping blood. Oh, then come and see if he be not a red man. Had there been but a drop of blood here and there upon him, it had been less. But he was all dyed with his own blood, for blood dropped from him, and he wet with the ground where he lay. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:44. So as I think, for the space of near hand 24 hours, the blood got not leave to dry on Christ in his suffering for us. For after supper in the garden, he lie in a sweat of blood that wet the ground. He lay on, and it would be long ere it dried. Then immediately after that there came a band of men with lanterns and torches, and they bound him and led him away, and he got blue marks anew. Pilate then scourged him, and blood came upon blood. Then a crown of thorns was put upon his head to renew his blood again. First God bled him, then man bled him, and then the laying on of the cross upon his shoulders would thrust out more blood. For his wounds could not be closed then, and then his holy hands and feet were nailed to the cross, and he hung bleeding there until the ninth hour, which is about 3 PM of the day after he was taken. Then his side was pierced until blood and water came out. So as from after supper in one night until it was near night the day following, he was under blood. What think ye now of Christ's bloody coat and bloody skin? Was he not a strong, keen warrior? Fought he not well for you? Is he not well worthy of your love? God grant him good of it and joy of it. He fought for it and would not give over the play. God forbid he had given it over and rendered up the cause. Woe then had been to us. Should ye not then give your best things to Christ? For he gave the best things he had for you, even his precious blood, for the life is in the blood. He seeks no more but the blood and life of your heart, idols and sins. For, he says, I slew myself for you, and if you love me, give blood for blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word is the birth of a man's mind, and an image of what is conceived in the understanding, and it represents to the hearers what is in the mind. Now because man is a finite creature, the birth of his mind is finite also. As the image of a man in a glass represents the likeness of himself, so his words are the image of a soul, representing what is in him. Christ is the infinite and eternal Word of the invisible God, not only like him, but God himself, differing only in manner of subsisting from God, who is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Philippians 2:6. He that has seen Christ has seen the Father also. No man has seen the Father at any time save the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, and he to whom he will reveal him. All things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you, John 15:15. Christ is God's tongue, to speak so, to us, between us and our King. He is privy to all the Father's secrets. Then would you have news from that great court, and want to know the secrets of God and how the work of your salvation thrives? Christ only knows his Father's mind. Make your acquaintance with Christ and be oft with him and ask him questions oftentimes. He keeps a book where the names of the firstborn are recorded. Desire him to let you read your name there. You may advise with lawyers about your lands and inheritance. Christ is our advocate and has our law book to tell us what a holding we have, what duty we owe to our Lord the King, what a fair rent and possession we have. Our inheritance is made sure unto us. Now because Christ is the only one in all the world like us God, and being his substantial image, yea, being very God, if you would send your commendations, your love and services to your heavenly Father, desire Christ to do it, and he will carry them. If you send a kiss to God by Christ, he will carry it to his Father and your Father. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. This is not to be understood simply of the church triumphant in heaven, but also of the heavenly army of the church militant on earth. For the church on earth is burgess of another country. Heaven is her home. Her members are but merchants hereaway, seeking the pearl of great price. But Christ has given them their burgess tickets and made them free men. They are sworn to be true to the burg, and to hold with the heavenly company, to watch and ward with the saints or heavenly armies, called so because they smell of heaven and their portion is there. Our conversation is of heaven, Philippians 3:20. You shall know a man by the smell of his breath. If he savor of the earth, it says that he is none of the spiritual or heavenly army. You might know by Judas' breath, who said of the box of spikenard, might not this have been sold for so much that he was a burgess of the black pit? But see here, they are all on horseback, and in their master Christ's livery, white and holy, they bear the King's arm upon them. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Song of Solomon 1:9. See then that the saints are on horseback with Christ. He does not ride and his people walk, but will have his own mounted on horseback with him. He is even then triumphing with us over all our enemies. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. He will get the victory over all his and his people's enemies, and he will enable his people to get the victory at last. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7 verse 14. See then, all the saints are on horseback, galloping and posting to heaven after Christ, overcoming all temptations, triumphing over the world's sin and death. Then ye that are but Christ's footrunners, take heed to this. You that have your souls licking the dust of the earth and have eye a smell of clay, who mind earthly things. By the smell of their breath ye will ken what country they are of. They are upon their feet with it, wading to their knees, and on their elbows, among the filthy clay ground of covetousness. Ride up and ride down and ride elsewhere you will not get Christ overtaken. Aye, you will get some like the young man in the gospel, who would have galloped after Christ, but when Christ bade him go and sell all he had, that threw him off the saddle and laid him on the breadth of his back. And so he fell behind and never overtook Christ again, so far as we hear of. The devil in the world makes some men say that yon captain, Christ, rides so hard and fast that they cannot keep up with him, and so lose him. Demas followed a while along with Paul after Christ in the gospel, yet at last his horse stumbled, and he fell off and lost his horse and company and all together. Judas lie posted a while, but the devil shot a musket ball at him, even 30 pieces of silver, and so he gave it over, and there he lay. Men know not that the devil and the world are lying between them and heaven, stealing a shot at Christ's horsemen. I assure you the devil seeks no better than that you alight and take a bait, a drink of his strong wine, worldly lusts and fleshly pleasures, that so your master on the white horse may be far before you. A little of lawful pleasure is best. Then light not, for the devil will have you lose sight of your captain, and if you lose your master, Christ, and fall behind him, it will stand hard with you. Therefore, when you lose him, seek and be diligent to find him out again. Seek the right way. Follow the horse's footsteps, the print of Christ's footsteps in holiness, faith, patience, and hope, which may be seen all the way between this and heaven. Ask him out as the church does. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Song of Solomon 3:3. When the church said, draw me, she was 3 or 4 miles behind. When David said, O Lord, how long? He had almost lost sight of his captain. Nay, when Christ is 1 or 2 before, so that there is a little hill between him and us, with watery eyes and panting heart, look a long look over the mountain and cry, Lord Jesus, ride at leisure, tarry and take a poor weary traveler with thee. Lord, tarry or else thou wilt lose a footman. Job said, Lord, thou takest me for an enemy. He break a girth there. Christ has many a sore, tired horse to take out of the mire. In his triumphing host, many of Christ's soldiers will be very near off their horses and hanging by the howls. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Here David was hanging upon his saddle by the huffs. Peter got a fall off of his horse, and he fell into a swoon and lost his horse when he denied his master. Here God will have the horse sometimes to stumble, and will have his servants laid on the breadth of their backs, and all their clothes spoiled, and a leg or an arm broken, because they, like young riders, are full of self-importance, and will not follow their captain, and care not about keeping a good bridle hand. As David will ride on a hanging and steep hill of murder and adultery, lot upon incest and drunkenness, and or ever they be aware, the devil trips up their heels to the sun, and gives them such a fall that they be on their knees with it, and shall lose their horse, and so be obliged to creep up the hill on their hands and feet. Then see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think he speaks by this text as if he would say, be not rash. Take heed to your ways. Keep a good bridle hand. Hold off the hills and hanging precipices of ice. For if you give the devil and your lust a horse bridle to lead, they will sink you to the girths in a black marsh near to the mouth of hell, and leave you there, and laugh at you when they have done. The devil is aye playing such sports and tricks as these. They are but feckless sports, and I tell you, do your best, you will get a broken brow ere ye win to heaven. But come weeping to Jesus. I know the saints fall on Christ's floor when they break their faces. He is at their elbow to blow upon the wound and take them up again. We like fools will ride at full career and cross the long sands, and we grow too jolly and proud of our victory. I said I shall never be moved, says David. I shall die in my rest, says Job. But God breaks the bridle and the horse loses his feet or runs from him on a hard causeway, and there lies defeated a stout man. Be not high-minded. Be not too wanton, nor too secure. After you have won a race at the communion and have gotten a hold of Christ, you know not how soon you may get a fall or your mittens laid up, and then your boasting will be laid. You will say, ye bid us rejoice in the Lord. I bid you rejoice, but see that it be humble rejoicing, sober joy with fear and holy care. This sermon was from Samuel Rutherford's Communion Sermons.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan hard drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.